and welcome back to We Are the Weirdos, Mister, the podcast for all things cult, camp, queer, and creepy. I am your host, Hillary Michelle Post, and I am joined today by Julie.
Hello.
And Heather.
Hey.
And today, we're going to be discussing a new movie that just came out, a Hulu exclusive, the queer teen rom-com Crush. So, first and foremost, what did you guys think of the movie?
I thought it was really cute.
It was very cute. For some reason, I thought that I was going to not like it. I don't know why I was like, I'm not going to like this, and then I'm going to be the one that's like, I didn't really like that, but I did like it. So, I don't know why I was being defeatist from the get-go.
Yeah, I thought it was cute. I thought some of the dialogue was a little cheesy and stilted, but I thought everyone was good in it, and everyone was charming and relatable. And frankly, any queer media at all is appreciated, but especially queer media that doesn't feature tragedy or a coming out story is so refreshing that I'm not very picky about it. I try not to.
I completely agree. Like, I'm glad this wasn't about, like, I have a crush on a girl and no one knows type deal.
Right. Like, everyone in it is out. There's no drama or anything in regards to being queer. Everyone just happens to be queer in the situation. I watched it, like, 2 days ago. And I took really loose notes. They're very loosey-goosey and just kind of not very specific because, unlike a lot of the movies that we watch on this show, I've only seen it once and I was trying to pay attention instead of, you know, pouring over notes the whole time. So, you guys are going to have to help me. When did you watch it, Julie? I know Heather watched it.
I watched it last night.
What did you say, Heather?
I said I took pretty good notes, Then I watched it. I didn't have, my nights have been crazy, so I watched it over lunch, over like 3 days, during my lunch period.
Nice.
But it was refreshing and nice to watch, you know, while I was trying to relax for like the 30 minutes I have.
Yeah. Oh, that's nice that you were using your free time to help with my podcast. Oh.
Yeah. It was very enjoyable to do. One kid came in and they're like, you look busy. And I was like, I kind of am.
I don't have a whole bunch of background on the movie because it's so new and there wasn't a lot of information. It was written by Kirsten King and Casey Rackham. And I don't know anything about Casey, but Kirsten used to work for BuzzFeed, I think. And I'm familiar with her through her work with Amanda Holland on her YouTube channel. I don't know if I ever made you guys watch the Lesbians Drunk Watch series. The Drunk Lesbians Watch series on YouTube.
I don't think
so. Oh, well, I used to watch it all the time. It's not a thing anymore, but Kirsten used to be on there a lot. And so I followed her on social media for a while. So it was really interesting following someone who was like an up and coming writer and watched them succeed. It was very nice. I felt really, really happy for her. In a parasocial sort of way. I also didn't know this until I saw the credits, but it was produced by Natasha Lyonne and Maya Rudolph, which is awesome.
Oh, fun.
Yeah.
There's an article that Rowan Blanchard has linked in her Instagram of her and Natasha Lyonne interviewing each other.
Oh, cool.
Because they, I think that they both said that, like, they were really excited to work with each other. Like, they met in, like, a bathroom line at a party and just, like, talked about their love of cinema.
Cute.
Yeah, it's nice. Really nice.
Yeah, like Julie mentioned, Rowan Blanchard is the star of the movie. She plays Paige Evans. You might know Rowan from Girl Meets World. That's what I know her from. So it was a little jarring seeing her in something adult, but she's grown up a lot. She's like 8 feet tall and beautiful.
It took me forever to figure out who the hell she was. I was like, who is that?
I was torn too about this because, like, I was laughing about it in our group chat a few days ago when, like, I first mentioned the movie, but, like, I have really bad facial blindness when it comes, when a bunch of people look similar. And so I was like, oh God, all the girls look the same in this movie. But at the same time, that's kind of good. It's not a bunch of, like, blonde white girls. It's an array of people. But they were like, everyone's brunette in this movie. I'm like, oh God. Like, facial blindness is going to strike. But I did a pretty good job. Who else is in this movie? Oh, Ali'i, right? Ali'i Carvalho. Mm-hmm. Yep. Plays AJ. Might know her as Moana. And Isabella Ferreira stars as Gabrielle. I forgot to look up what else Isabella has been in, because she's the only one that I didn't recognize for other things. yeah, Ali'i and Isabella play twins in this. And I don't know for sure, but I'm pretty sure they're different ethnicities. Just, and they look nothing alike except for both being brunette.
And I would have been okay with that if their parents at all looked like anything other than white people. But, like, you get one, like, kind of glance, and their dad looks like a white dude. And I'm just like, genetics, but that's not how genetics work. Because right. It's very well possible that you could have two kids from, like, ethnically different parents that look like that. But their parents looked, I can't remember what the mom looked like, but I just remember the dad looking pretty white.
I don't remember their parents at all, so you're doing better than I am.
I don't either.
They only show them one time. Mm. So, It was like during the, after the race or something, I don't know. A race.
Julie's probably will, just like last time we recorded, Julie will like remember everything way better than us.
I did not take notes.
Oh, well, that's great. Thanks, Jules.
I watched it yesterday. It's fine.
She'll still remember it better than us, honestly.
She probably will.
Damn.
Probably no notes are probably better than the piece of shit notes I have. Mine are awful. the movie also stars Megan Mullally, who I love so much.
She's a great mom.
Yeah, I wish Megan Mullally. I mean, I love my mom, but if I had to have a celeb mom, it'd be Megan Mullally.
Yeah.
Or wife, frankly. I would take either.
Okay.
I've had a crush on her forever, ever since Will and Grace. I think she's hot.
She is. I just think it's weird you want her to be either your mom or wife, you know?
Ooh, Hillary has mommy issues. What a shock. Shocker, shocker. So, our main character, Paige, is a junior, I think, and she's an aspiring artist, and she wants to go to Caltech, and she wants to get into their summer program, and the prompt is to, it's like, in your medium of choice, portray your happiest moment, and she's struggling with that. She's gay and has been out for a long time. She has a very supporting mother, who's a little too supportive. She gives her, like, an array of sex toys.
She hits her with the glow-in-the-dark dental dams.
Yeah, but it shows the whole shelf full of sex toys that she gave her before that.
Yeah.
And I was so mad when Paige is like, we don't use those. People don't use those. I'm just like, well, you should. Like, set a good example.
Yeah, I was kind of astounded by that. I was like, what?
Yeah, it's just like, at least pretend. Just lie. Make me feel better about the younger generation. Well, fuck dental dams. Now we have the latex undies. Have you seen these?
Yes.
You haven't seen those? They're like a dental dam that you can wear. They're, like, super stretchy, and they, like, fit all sizes, and are, you can do all sorts of stuff while wearing them. Yeah.
All right.
I heard that they, like, hurt to take on and off because they, like, catch in your body hair, but... Yeah.
Well, that's just another case for not having body hair.
But removing body hair is not good for you.
I know. I was just trying to get your goat.
I am hairy and I like it. Where was I? Oh, dental dams. Yeah, her Paige's mom gives her glow in the dark dental dams. And is, I don't know. Most of her mom's dialogue is funny, but is like the most cringy. Just like, oh, mom.
It's like a mom trying to be supportive, but like way too supportive.
Yeah. Paige's best friend is Dylan, is this straight boy Dylan. And he is dating Stacy, and they're running against each other for class president. And they're like disgustingly straight. They're like super in love and are constantly kissing and constantly fucking and just so gross.
Doesn't Paige say once that they're so straight that it's almost gay?
Is yeah.
That what she says?
Paige is in love with Gabrielle, and she has been since fifth grade when they got paired in one of those like have to raise a child together projects, and they have to take care of a little egg. Those projects are always portrayed in movies and TV. I never had to do anything like that. Did you guys?
Yes.
Did you?
I had an egg, yeah.
Yeah, we had eggs. Oh, it was like eighth grade, though. It was like we were a lot older than that.
Never had to do anything like that. I remember they had these like robot babies at the library that you could check out and do like electively and take care of them. And I remember my sister, my cousin, and their best friend one summer all checked out a baby together and raised it all summer. And I remember it had like three names because they named them after their crushes. And I just remember hating that fucking baby because it would cry and make noise and was just a fucking obnoxious. And like in elementary school, I'm just like, oh, shut that fucking baby up. Like, why are you guys doing this for fun?
The first time I ever went to a co-ed party, somebody had one of those babies from parenting class, and she just didn't want to take care of it that night, and she put it in the dryer. And it cried all night long.
Wow.
Yeah.
How old were you when you went to your first co-ed party?
Fucking, like, 16. My mom did not, no, I did not participate in those things. Huh. I was actually probably older. I was probably almost 17. I'm not gonna lie. Like, I was old. Like, it was a struggle to even get my mom to agree to let me stay.
I was throwing co-ed parties in, like, fifth grade.
What?
Yeah. I had a lot of guy friends when I was young.
Well, okay, so I had this one friend that my mom worked with his mom, and we had sleepovers in, like, elementary school, just the two of us, and I'd play video games with him. It was not weird. It was just kind of like, eh.
Anyway, so Gabrielle is, like, the most popular girl in school, and she's queer. And she has a twin sister, AJ, who is also queer. And AJ's kind of is more like quiet and aloof and cool. Like Paige describes her as like having a leather jacket, even though she doesn't. She's like, you just have that vibe, like you should. And Dylan is trying to encourage Paige to get over her crush on Gabrielle and to move on. There's also a B story going on about a graffiti artist named King Pun who vandalizes the school with all these like pun inspired portraits and murals and doodles and stuff. Dottie! Oh!
I'm obsessed with the Flippin' the Bird one, because, like, I think their mascot is, like, an eagle or something.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very funny. I, of course, love puns, so I'm all about that shit.
Around this time, when we're finding out all of this, they talk about Phoebe Bridgers, and I love Phoebe Bridgers. And then Paige was like, "Sad lesbian music is a part, is an integral part of my identity." And I was like, "Me too, Paige. Me too."
Yeah, Dylan's just—they share a Spotify account, and he's like, "Yeah, Spotify said that you listened to Phoebe Bridgers for like 8 hours last night, and that's really alarming because she only has 2 albums."
Yeah, but also it's me.
So the whole King Pun thing. I mean. It was super obvious who the King Pun was from the beginning, right? Like, immediately, I was like, oh, it's her.
Yes, but also, I am dumb, and I was like, well, maybe it's the sister. You know what I mean? I kind of thought it might have been Gabby, and that Gabby was being nice to her, to Paige, to get Paige to take the fall.
Mm. Yeah.
So, and I have to apologize on behalf of Gabrielle, because that's not fair to her. She was just trying... to be loved.
Yeah.
Yeah. Poor Gabby.
Poor Gabby.
Also, when the coach comes up to them and is, like, asking them about it, like, who's King Pun? And they're like, we're not going to snitch. And he's like, snitches get riches. And I'm a teacher. I fully support that phrase.
Oh, yeah. 100p.
But since she's an artist, everyone knows that Paige is an artist. A lot of people think it is Paige. Including this one guy, Tim, who is like a running joke between them that he always calls her King Pun. And, I don't know. Tim is just like some random dude. He's on the track team. He's just there. But Paige is hanging out with Stacy and Dylan, who are on the track team, and they run into Gabrielle and, who is, like, co-captain, her and AJ co-captain the track team. And that day is going to be, like, after-school tryouts. And so just to be close to her and just to impress her, Paige is like, oh, yeah, I'm going to be at tryouts. I'm totally going to be there. Because she's an idiot.
Well, the thing is, like, every time she sees Gabby, like, this, like, crazy romantic music starts playing, and, like, Gabby's just, like, backlit in a wash of color, and Paige turns into a, like, just a dummy. Like, she just, like, blurts stuff out. She can't speak. It is the quintessential, like, crush type deal, which I love. You know what I mean? Like, if it was an anime, she'd have a nosebleed. and that's kind of how she ends up saying she's going to join the track team. My favorite thing too, by the way, I should have mentioned this earlier. We're talking about Stacy and Dylan. They're running against each other for the student body president, but Paige is doing the art for both of them. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you guys talked about that. I'm sorry. I forgot, like, my brain is kind of gone. But like, I love that. I think that's hilarious. And they all acknowledge from the beginning that Stacy's gonna win, but
yeah,
you're still at one point later.
Yeah, at one point later, they're like, "Stacy, you're gonna be a good president," and Dylan was like, "You didn't even vote for me."
Yeah,
I want to make fun of Paige for volunteering for track just for Gabrielle. Nobody on this planet could make me run track. Nobody. However, I did do stats for track because my boyfriend in high school did track.
Nice.
Well, I want to talk about the scene a little bit because, like, she gets pulled into the principal's office, and I love the principal so much because she is maybe me. Like, she's awkward and, like, makes terrible puns, and I love her. And so she's, like, you know, like, getting into track is kind of a way for her to get out of trouble, and she's like, okay, if you do track because we need you in track, then you're – gonna have to figure out who King Pun really is. And so Gabby gives this metaphor, which I didn't write down, but the principal is like, is that a metaphor? And she was like, yeah. And the principal is like, well, I'm not metaphor it.
Like, Yeah, Paige has keys to the art room, which apparently to the coach and to the principal is clear evidence that she's Kingpin. And so, like Heather said, they threatened to suspend her, but she's like, I will be on the track team. The coach can keep an eye on me. And while I do that, I'll also find out who Kingpin is for you guys in exchange.
She's like, I'll play track. And the principal looks at the coach and is like, she just said play track. Like, she's a DJ.
My favorite part is that, like, it all seems like kind of bullshit, and the principal's like, absolutely not. But then the coach is like, well, we do need people to run track.
Yeah.
So since she thought she was going to get suspended, her mom had got called in to the school, and she shows up guns a-blazing, like, you're not suspending my daughter. And she's like, it's all right, I'm not going to get suspended. And her and the coach hit on each other. They just, like, instantly are into each other, and it's so creepy.
It really is. It's too much.
Yeah. Poor Paige. She's like, dear God.
Yeah, and we find out kind of around here that, like, the mom just decided to have a baby and kind of did it on her own, so she doesn't necessarily have a dad that's in the picture. So that's kind of another empowering thing for Paige, and another way to make it very easy for a mom and coach to get together.
Yeah, I love that. I love that that was a thing, that they made a point to point out that, like, her mom is a single mom, but not because she wants to be. Like, she elected to be a single mom. No one died. No one got divorced. She just decided one day she wanted to have a kid, which is awesome. So Paige shows up at track, and the coach puts AJ in charge of, well, Gabrielle and AJ both, I guess, are trying to help her figure out what she's going to do for track. And unsurprisingly, she's not very athletically inclined and can't really do anything. So they're just like, you're just going to run, which is what they should have done to begin with. Like, why they thought she'd be able, I would not have trusted her with the javelin in a million years.
Nor myself.
No. Yeah, doesn't she, like, throw the javelin and it, like, goes through the water cooler?
Yes.
Ugh. I love it, though, when she hands her the pole to do the, what's it called?
The high, or the...
What the fuck is that
high
called?
High jump? It's called a high jump?
No, it's called,
Oh, my God. Pole vault.
Pole vault, yeah. And she doesn't even try. Like, she has it in her hand, and she starts running, and she's like, you know what? No. I'm just... Like, good call. Break your neck.
Yeah, I don't even... You can't even start somebody out on that on day one. Like, that's just ridiculous.
Mm-mm. There has to be a building up process to that.
Well, they said they were just like, we're not even going to try you out. Just run.
Right. So she ends up just doing, like... She joins relay is what she ends up doing, I guess.
The 4x1, so it's like a 50-second race.
Yeah.
And then she obviously needs a coach that can't be coach because, you know, he's too busy doing coach things. So she gets paired with AJ, the twin sister of her crush, to kind of train her to be better and faster.
I love AJ. She's so
cool.
Yeah, she's cool. She's not, when I found out that, Ali'i was in this movie, because of Moana, I like picture her as like this like smiley, happy Disney type girl. And when she played someone so like just muh, I was like, this is not what I expected her to be at all. I love it. Though I heard a rumor somewhere that her and Rowan don't get along. I don't know if that's true. Where did I hear? I heard, like, gossip on TikTok or something that they didn't get along. That might be a lie. Mm-hmm. So I don't want to spread misinformation, but it's word on the street. So I guess they're both Disney kids. Huh.
How awkward.
Right. Sometimes that ends up getting, like, the best chemistry. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So after that, they have dinner. Paige kind of, like, goes with Dylan and her mom, and they have dinner together. And it's kind of talking about track and whatever. Sorry, I have allergies, so I'm coughing. And so, like, her mom, again, makes this really inappropriate, like, comment about, like, vibrators. And how she used her electric toothbrush, she's like, and it's not the end you think it would be. I'm like, oh, my God.
And then she, like, pulls something out of the dishwasher. She's like, I took it upon myself to wash one of your toys. And this is really small. And she's like, well, that's an eraser. So.
That's an eraser.
She even, like, her mom yells at her too. She's like, this is a sex positive house. But Dylan convinces, Paige to come to Stacey's party. Stacey's throwing this big bash, and Paige doesn't usually go out and do stuff like that, so it's a rare occurrence for her to go be social. Mood. And they...
Doesn't she decide to go because King Pun is definitely going to be there?
Yeah.
Yes, because King Pun posts on their Instagram a comment about the party, like a drawing mm-hmm. about the party. And she looks really cute, by the way, at the party. Her hair is all cute, and she has that cute little dress. this is where my notes start getting real loosey-goosey.
So, do you care if I give a little synopsis?
Oh, no, go for it.
So they're at the party, and she sees DJ being super cute, and they have this conversation, and they decide to team up, and that since they're already kind of hanging out together a lot anyways for DJ training her, that AJ. They're going to figure out, AJ, why I wrote DJ in my notes, AJ. they're already hanging out a lot together, so they're going to try to find out who King Fun is. And so they're kind of going around trying to find people. And at one point, they walk into a room where two people are having sex. And then AOC is, like, talking.
Oh, yeah. It's Dylan and Dylan.
Yes. And they're like, cover AOC's eyes. She doesn't deserve this.
I love Stacey throws a party just to go into her room and fuck her boyfriend. I'm like, Stacey, why would you even bother throwing a party if you're just going to be in the other room? Did you guys catch...
Go ahead.
Did you guys catch the Wincest joke?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, I did. Yes. I thought of you immediately. I was like, oh my.
There's a girl, I think her name's Chantel. She's witch.
She's a witch, yeah.
And Paige is convinced that she's like in love with her because she's tried to set love spells on her. And they ask her, and they're like, are you an artist? She's like, witches are all artists in their own way. And she's like, but yeah, on my Tumblr, I draw stuff. And she mentions those brothers from Supernatural 69ing. And I died.
That was funny.
It's like someone wrote that joke specifically for you, Hillary.
I know. I feel like Kirsten King, like, wrote it specifically for me. Anyway, go ahead, Heather.
Oh, yeah, you're fine. AJ and Paige get separated, and then Paige finds Gabby, which she still thinks is, like, her true crush. They dance together, and she's pretty drunk. And then, other than Dylan taking her home, I don't really remember any other poignant part of the party.
No, my favorite part is, like, I love of the party scene. She's, like, when she's talking to AJ, she's like, you'd be the perfect bad cop to my good cop. And then that's when she starts, like, dragging her around the party, which is adorable. And they talk to all these people. They even talk to Tim. And, like, they just keep bantering with one another. But then Dylan reminds her when she's, like, super drunk that, like, she's got to work out in the morning for a track with AJ.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that part because she shows up to track with like her bag and like a giant iced coffee.
And giant sunglasses.
What? Yeah, and giant sunglasses. And she's like, did you not bring any water at all? And she's like, you have to let me trust my caffeinated process or something like that. Like, she definitely, she's like, I have to be appropriately caffeinated for this. And I really liked the transition scene of them just, like, starting to, like, go, like, what'd she say? She say, like, we're going to start with 3 miles. And, like, the transition scene of just the ice melting in the coffee. I love that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like that, too.
I like it when the Paige first shows up. AJ's like, how are you not massively hungover right now? And she's just like, well, I ate this, this, and this, and I might still be drunk.
Yeah.
Those are the best when, like, you're not hungover because you're still fucking drunk. But yeah, they run the 3 miles and just unsurprisingly murders Paige. She like, and when they're done, she like passes out in the grass. She's like, oh my God. But they, like I said earlier, like at the beginning, I didn't really say AJ, but the whole movie, I'm just like, AJ has to be Kingpin. But they throw us a curveball here because AJ is with Paige all afternoon practicing for track, and yet a Instagram post goes up, which you can set those timed, obviously, but at the point of it was to try to throw us off and think it wasn't AJ. Yeah, spoiler alert. I just, like, spoiled the ending, but I don't care, because the whole movie, I'm like, it's fucking AJ. But yeah, Kingpin posts on Instagram, and it gets them talking about Paige's art.
Yeah.
And she like opens up to AJ and shows her art, and AJ gives her some constructive criticism, which again is another red flag that she's Kingpin because she clearly has an eye for art. And she basically just tells Paige that she needs to like be more vulnerable with her art. That her feelings aren't coming across in her work, even though it's still really good. And I think then we see a meet. Do we see a track meet?
I think. No, they do practices first because she's still dropping the baton.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think we get a montage of practices. Because the next.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, because I don't have another note until they're, like, being cute on the skateboard.
Yeah, same. Yeah, well, okay, so that's the thing, though, about that track meet. Like, there's the montage, because she keeps dropping the baton. And it looks like she drops it, like, with Gabby, and she drops it with Stacy, but her and AJ connect.
Yeah.
And then, and then they finally do it in a meet, and I think that either they win in their meet, and that is significant. And there's a significant scene that scene, like, even though she helped them win that race, like, when they're all celebrating, nobody's celebrating with Paige.
Oh, I didn't notice that.
Mm-hmm. No, like, she is on the, she's still on the outside. You know what I mean? Like, because, like, AJ and Gabby are celebrating, Dylan and Stacy are celebrating, like, because she's still kind of an outsider. And then you get that, like, because that's probably where there's the shot of the dad, because after that's the skateboard scene, and they're talking, like, AJ talks about how her dad would never let her do that the goal is for her to get a D1 scholarship or get into a D1 school, and then she finds the notebook, which, obviously, you know, like you've been saying all along, AJ is Kingpin. She dropped it right then and there when she was being cute on the skateboard.
Yeah. AJ has the skateboard, by the way. It's AJ's skateboard. Yeah. And she's, like, helping Paige balance on it. They're holding hands and being all cute. And she's, like, looks at AJ and that wash of watercolors, like, goes up behind her like it used to for Gabby. So you can see the transition of her starting to fall for AJ. Which, how could you not? She's so cute. Oh, God. Ali is just adorable.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, AJ, or Paige is staring at AJ, and then she notices in the background the notebook on the ground, and it has all of King Pun's doodles in it, so they know it's King Pun's. So she DMs King Pun's Instagram to say that, hey, I have your notebook, and I'll leave it here for you to edit the certain spot at a certain time to come get tonight. And they're going to do a stakeout and try to catch to see who comes to pick it up. So Stacy, Dylan, Gabrielle, AJ, and Paige all show up to the school campus late that night.
And that's kind of why I thought it might have been Gabby, because why the fuck was she there?
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, that was like, why is she here? Like, this makes no sense, but okay, I'll go with it.
Yeah, I mean, I just took it for granted that she's not super close to AJ, but close enough that if AJ's like, hey, I'm going on a stakeout, do you want to come?
Yeah.
So they like all kind of split up, and Paige and Gabrielle end up together. And they're flirting. And there's a sidebar, like a running sidebar, that Paige is always on and off again with this person. Oh, what's her name?
Aya.
And I think Aya is non-binary because I only ever heard them use they, them pronouns.
Yeah.
But Gabrielle's always on and off again with him. And she's currently off. And that's like significant because, at least to me, you get the sense every time that she's flirting with Gabby, it's more of, or every time she's flirting with Paige, rather, it's more of a rebound thing as opposed to, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
She only kind of does it because she's in her feelings about Aya and not really into Paige. Not really, you know? That's at least a sense I got.
Yeah, I agree.
So they're being all cute and flirting. And they're, like, hiding behind a school sign waiting for someone to show up to pick up the notebook. And I don't even remember how it comes up. I think Gabrielle's just like, it's funny that we raised a kid together, talking about that project in fifth grade, that we co-parented and have never kissed, which is such, like, a ham-fisted way to get a kiss in there. It just comes out of nowhere, basically. But Gabby suggested a kiss, and Paige has never kissed anyone before. And the kiss is super awkward. I think she, like, pats Gabby on the back.
She does, yeah.
So they have a super, super awkward kiss. And it's finally sinking in with Paige that she doesn't really have feelings for Gabby as she thought. And she's still kind of clinging to it because she's talking about it with her mom and Dylan the next morning. And Dylan she's like, I've liked her since fifth grade. He's like, yeah, but maybe you don't anymore. Like, it's not that deep, you know?
I just have a note at this point that says, it's a structured blazer. What does that mean? What does anyone remember that?
Oh, yeah. Megan Mullally's wearing, she's like, what are you wearing? And she's like, it's a structured blazer.
Because they're getting ready to go to an away meet, and Megan's going to drive them to the school, and she's in like sweats and a sweatshirt, but she has a blazer on every time. They're like, why? I have a note that Megan Mullally offers. She tells Dylan, she's like, make sure she gets into some trouble while she's gone. Like, make sure she lightens up and has a little fun. And she offers them poppers. And she's like, Mom's the wrong type of gay.
Okay, well, here's the thing. So they're going to an away track meet, and it's a huge track meet. It's a big deal, right? Here's my question. The coach is the disaster factory in and of himself, but he's like handing out room assignments And, like, he is, well, I know 60% of you are queer anyways, but boys don't go into girls' rooms, girls don't go into boys' rooms, lights out at 9, because I gotta, and then he, like, talks about his, like, video date with Paige's mom, which is disgusting, and, like, so beyond, like, anything that he should actually be talking about with children. Where the fuck were the other adults? Like, there, for that many kids, there would need to be more chaperones, is what I'm saying.
Thanks.
Well, this is like a magical world where certain things just don't exist. Like, cause I mean, like, that's the best thing about this movie. There's like no homophobia at all. Like,
right.
It doesn't exist. And that's so refreshing. Like, cause thank God, I wish my kids didn't have to deal with it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That was delightful. But yeah, and there, and like immediately, Stacey and Dylan are, and Stacey's like, party in my room at 9 o'clock. Yeah. And Paige is like, we can't do that. He said we weren't allowed. And they were like, oh, you're a newbie.
I went on a school field trip today and I had about 40 kids and there were like 6 chaperones. So.
Yeah.
I love that Dylan has, like, squirreled away tiny little different vials of different alcohol. He just has, like, the weirdest combination of shit.
In random bottles.
Right.
Like, they're water bottles, like, toothpick, mouthwash bottles.
actually, he just has a bottle of mouthwash, because he's like,
oh, yeah,
you have to drink a lot of it, but it'll fuck you up. Ugh, gross.
But they, obviously, it is a high school party, so what do, guys?
7 minutes in heaven.
Except, like, a really, like, considerate version of 7 minutes in heaven. They're like, it's 2022, we're not gonna make you make out with each other, but 7 minutes is a long time to not make out.
7 minutes is not very long at all.
Has anyone ever done 7 minutes in heaven?
No.
Of course not.
Yeah, me either.
Is that you saying me either because we said no or because you legitimately have never done it?
Way to address my integrity. But no, I have never done it.
Well, Heather, you are way cooler than me, so I feel like if somebody had done it, it would have been you.
It was not me.
Okay.
Never. I've only played Spin the Bottle once, and it was with you. Both of you.
Oh, yeah.
Did we? I don't remember that.
Yes, we did, in college.
Huh. We'll talk about this after the podcast, but I don't remember.
Matrix move.
Oh!
No!
Spin the Bottle?
We weren't playing Spin the Bottle. I swear to God,
yeah,
we weren't.
I got to kiss that gorgeous man that had classes with Hillary, and it was like we missed for a second, and it was like a rom-com moment. Like, I will never forget that.
Because I remember it started because Adam kept trying to kiss me, and I was dating someone, so I was just like, no. Because then I made him kiss Wes too, remember?
Well, he kissed me. I know he kissed everyone else at that party, but that was a formative moment of my college career. Hillary.
No, that's not, I wasn't trying to.
I know.
I just don't remember there being a bottle.
Now, people.
Anyway, sorry. Man, he was beautiful. I wonder what he's up to.
He was so beautiful.
I don't even remember who that was. I remember his full name, and I'm not even going to say it.
I'll send you a picture afterwards, Jules.
Okay.
You don't remember him? Oh, my. Okay, we can't.
Babe,
we're good.
Babe, I don't remember what I have for breakfast. Like, I... it's not, like...
I remember that night. It was magical. I remember your other friend. I was so drunk that your other friend, like, walked me out. And I remember I stepped on his pants and I, like on the bottom of his pants. And I, like, ripped them. And I was like, oh, my God, I'm so sorry. Like, it was the worst thing that
happened. We were in a kitchen.
Yes.
And, like, you guys were sitting at, like, a booth. And then, like, I was standing up. And then that dude tried to kiss me, and I was just not into being kissed by this random man that I didn't know. And, like, yeah, and I just did, like, the Matrix move to avoid that. Which, in retrospect, I probably should have just let it happen, but it is a lot funnier of a story that I Matrixed it instead.
Oh, that guy was a skeez anyway. I'm glad you didn't.
Yeah, he was something else.
We're sorry.
The person whose house we were in, too, listens to this podcast.
Oh, hey.
But yes, yes. Oh, my God, yes. She will know. Oh, my God, yes.
Let Lisa, your best.
Lisa, if you're listening, I want you to confirm everything that I said is true because you were there, lady. So this is one of my favorite parts of the movie. I'm trying to get back. This is one of my favorite parts of the movie. So everyone, they're picking phones out to see who's going to, like, make out or 7 minutes
of
heaven.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. And so they pick out a phone case, and they're like, whose phone is this? And both Gabby and AJ are like, mine. And they're like, what's the background? And AJ's like, blah, blah, blah. And he's like,
Tessa Thompson is Valkyrie, is what she says.
Yes. 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 And
yeah.
And it's clearly Gabby's phone. And Dylan's like, oh, it's AJ's phone. So then AJ and Paige have to go in together and have their little 7 minutes in heaven.
And it's like, the lighting in that hotel bathroom is amazing, by the way.
Lighting, honey, the tub.
The tub is pretty amazing.
Oh, yeah. Tub. Like, what? Like, I have never stayed, and I've stayed in a couple of hotels. I have never stayed in a hotel like that, especially a high school track meet. Are you kidding me? No. They're staying at La Quinta. They're not staying at wherever that is. Like,
this is where I made a moment in my notes, like, at this point, like, I love music in movies. I love it so much. But, like, every time a song played in this film, like, the lyrics were a little too on point. It was like, making out in the tub. And then they were like, making out in the tub. Like, it was just like, okay, like, calm down.
Didn't even notice that. That's so funny.
Yeah, like, every time, like, the lyrics of the song they picked were, like, completely matching everything they were doing at that moment when the song was on.
That's so great. So a point important thing to point out about AJ and Paige kissing is that AJ admits that she's never kissed anyone before, and Paige kind of implies that she hasn't either, even though she did already kiss Gabrielle, but that never comes up. So AJ and Paige kiss, and AJ thinks that it's both their first kisses, which is important to the plot later. And it's great. It's nothing like Paige's kiss with Gabrielle. It's really a great kiss. And then, well, the fact that they're in, like, a fancy hotel is kind of not as great when once you realize they made them share beds. Because I was like, what the fuck? They made them share beds? They couldn't get them doubles? Because later that night, it cuts to AJ and Paige sharing a bed because they're roommates, and it's super awkward.
But then they, like, talk and, like, connect with each other, and it's cute. And then Paige wakes up, and she is, like, restless, so she goes to get, like, a snack or whatever, and she sees Gabby, and Gabby's drunk and talking about how, like, she had a crush, and they left her, and, like, why doesn't anybody love her?
Poor Gabby.
Yeah.
She's just a drunk mess.
And I like that they kind of broke that, like, stereotype that, like, Gabby's popular and perfect and everything. Like, no, she has her own, you know, insecurities. She's looking for love, and, yeah.
Yeah. So. Well,
and Paige does her own little matrix on Gabby, you know what I mean? Yes. Like, Gabby tries to kiss her, and she's like, no, I'm sorry, I kind of have a crush on someone else.
Which is good of her.
Yeah.
So the next day at the meet, they play second, and everyone's really seems to be really happy about that.
Okay, I thought it was weird. Wait, can I just sidebar? I thought that was weird, but my girls were talking today, and they were like, hey, like, I heard them talking about track, and they were like, oh, since we moved around the 4x1, we're down 2 seconds. She's like, that's enough to play second. That's enough to play second. So, like, it is actually a thing to be excited about.
Yeah.
So, which I didn't know, because I don't know dick about track. But, like, I was like, it was funny that it happened literally, like, a set, like, the day after I watched this movie. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, what impeccable timing. So, I was like, okay. So that happened to me today, just so you know.
So, in the hullabaloo after...
Sorry, but again, though, like, all of the girls are celebrating, and Paige is still kind of on the outside.
Until Gabby makes a comment to her, apologizing mm-hmm. for trying to kiss her the night before, and how mm-hmm. it was technically, like, even though they had kissed before, that didn't mean that it was okay to try to kiss her again. And AJ's mm-hmm. just like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
And so AJ's is mad because not only did she not know that that wasn't Paige's first kiss, she didn't know that she had kissed Gabrielle. And AJ feels like she comes in second to Gabrielle in a lot of different aspects in her life. So she feels like she was, like, second place again.
Yeah.
And so AJ, being mad, blows up, and she's like, well, I'm King Pun, so in your face. Which, duh. But...
yeah, and the sisters kind of talk it out. Are you good in there? Am I going too fast?
No, no, go ahead.
So AJ and Gabby kind of have a sisterly heart-to-heart, and, like, AJ kind of confides in her that she's always felt like she's in Gabby's shadow. She's, you know, like you said, she's playing second place to Gabby all the time. And Gabby tries to make it feel like, you know, no, I never tried to do that, make you feel that way. And then kind of Paige kind of salts back to her mom after the weekend away. And her mom kind of tells her she needs to speak her truth and talk to people about it.
Right.
Which starts the sad montage. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a sad montage of AJ avoiding Paige everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Until the day of the election, where Paige follows AJ into the voting booth and corners her to, like, force her to talk to her.
And some other kid's like, you know there are other places you can make out, right?
Like, that's not what we're doing.
Yeah, we're voting.
And, you know, AJ explains to Paige the same thing that she said to Gabrielle. She's like, you know, I don't want to be runner-up. I don't want to be your consolation prize, because it didn't work out with Gabby. Which I get. I mean, I get it, but at the same time, when someone is just like, I don't like Gabby, I like you, I would take that at face value. I'd be like, okay, cool, we both like each other, great. But, I mean, I get it, but I guess I'm thirstier than AJ.
Well, Paige doesn't really get to respond. Go ahead.
Oh, sorry. No, I was going to say, also, you have the luxury of being an adult. Like, yeah. You know what I mean? Like, teenage feelings are big and hard.
Yeah, it's true.
What a great statement. We have the luxury of being an adult. That is true. Being a teenager is hard.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I mean, like, everything feels so much bigger. And, like, especially, like, you don't have, like, because there's one point where, like, it was back in the cute skateboard scene where AJ's like, yeah, I'm going to unpack this in therapy one day. Like, that's a mature stance to have, but, like, she, you know what I mean? Like, again, like I said, having the luxury of being an adult is to, like, be able to, you know, have introspection on things, you know what I mean? Like, to rationally think out, you know, this happened, but it could have been a comedy of errors. Like, obviously she's saying that she likes me. She has feelings for me. Like, that, I guess that's kind of what I mean. I don't know if that's crazy. Am I putting too much thought into it?
No. No, you're right.
So after this, like, Paige kind of feels bad. She doesn't know what to say to AJ, but she's got to go deal with the situation of telling the principal who's Kingpin. So she's going to go there to lie and be like, you know what, it's me. She's not going to rat AJ out.
Right.
Yeah.
But when she gets there, the principal tells her that AJ has already confessed and that AJ is going to be suspended until the next semester.
And then the principal says, get out of here because I got turkey legs to motorboat.
Yeah, she does say that. She's a nut.
Oh, man. I like that actress. She's been in a bunch of stuff, and she always kind of plays the same character, which is that character. Like, just like someone who just shows up with clips.
I'd like to just say that this, which will kind of be important later, that the every time they're going to see the principal, she's kind of obsessed with, like, being part of, like, the Renaissance group in the school, and she's, like, really into it. That's why she's got her turkey legs to motorboat.
Oh yeah. Well, did we forget to mention that, like, they confront Tim about being Kingpin, because after, like, Gabby and Paige kiss that first time, they see a car, and they're like, that's Tim's car. And then Tim has to admit to being part of the Renaissance Club.
Right. Yeah, we totally did leave that out.
Which is embarrassing for Tim, but not embarrassing for someone like me. That sounds fucking dope.
It does. Except for, just an aside here, there was a Renaissance group that came to my hometown, and I was working at, it was called USA Steak Buffet. And they treated the buffet like barbarians. And I got so excited when I got to make pierogies. And because everyone would deep fry them, but I would take my time. And I would, like, cook them and put them in butter, and they were so much better that way. And I set them out hoping that I could have one in the end. And this barbarian of a woman coming from the Renaissance Festival picked them up with her hands, and I was clearly like, I can't serve this anymore. And I looked at her in disgust, and I picked them up, and then I threw them in the trash. My hard work, gone.
Aww.
What a bitch.
That's fucked up.
That one.
Oh my god. I kind of really miss USA Steak Buffet right now, though.
It was great.
One of Heather's managers from USA Steak Buffet is now a lunch lady at my school, and it's the best thing ever, because I love seeing her every single day.
She's the
like,
best.
Genuinely. Yeah.
I know it was from a different buffet. Is from when you worked at Ponderosa. But do you remember your I Steak Steak shirt?
Yes. Yes, I Steak Steak. Yep, I Steak Steak.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I do Steak Steak. I
had to wear that to work.
It's so funny. On my way home from work today, I was listening to different old Game Grumps clips, and they were talking about how Danny didn't want to go to the Renaissance Fair. This is from a couple years ago. But he was like, truth be told, the past two times I've gone to the Renaissance Fair, the girl that I was seeing at the time broke up with me within like a week. Two different girls. He's like, what the fuck's happening at the Ren Fair? Is there like potions or wizards? They're like, you can break up with that Jewish boy if you answer me these questions three. I've never been to a Renaissance Fair. I've always wanted to go, but it always seems, there always seem to be when it's really hot out. And I just, oof.
Yeah.
I have been to one.
Yeah?
Yeah. I didn't get a turkey leg. It was a mistake. I should have gotten one. Because every time I say I want a turkey leg, people are like, they're not that good. I'm like, I think I'll be the fucking judge of that. Like, I think I'll be the fucking judge. What?
Did you pick up any pierogies with your bare hands?
I didn't, but I did buy a, like, coin jingly skirt that I've never worn because I feel as it is culturally appropriative in some way, so I just have it in my house.
Just like the hat wrap we bought once.
The what? Oh, yeah. Yeah. We bought, like,
this
these scarves. Yeah.
Oh, scarves.
Yeah, and she showed us how to wrap it on our heads, and Julie and I were both like, this is cool, and we bought them. We were like, we can never wear this, right? And we were like, yeah, no, we can't. We can't.
I also have, like a dress that I bought in Chinatown in New York that I had no business buying. It's still in my closet. It doesn't fit very well.
Oh, I've seen that. Yeah, that's pretty.
Yeah, it is, but I don't really have any business wearing that.
Anyway, so
Gabby, here's my note here. Gabby helps Paige apologize with art.
Oh yeah, her punny little signs that she makes. Gabby was like leading AJ into the auditorium, and along the way, Paige has made these little signs with little puns that are, like, trying to apologize to her. And then when they get to the auditorium, the principal announces that Stacy won the presidency, which, shocker, everyone knew she would. And she says that part of her platform, she has a new initiative that she wants, her beautification initiative. She wants to incorporate art, like King Puns, into the regular school, I don't know, as regular school decorations. And as part of the initiative, she brings up Paige. And so Paige is talking about art and her feelings and blah, blah, blah. Excuse me. I honest to God don't even remember what all she says.
It's a weird part for me. Keep going.
Yeah. She's talking about how, I don't know, talking about art, blah, blah, blah. And then she reveals a big mural that she painted, which was all of her favorite moments with AJ.
And one of them ended up kissing.
And what?
And one of them was when they were in the tub, like one of them was in the tub and the other one, you know, whatever, they're kissing.
It's really, really sweet. And they make a point of Paige to say that she hasn't slept in like 24 hours because she cranked that fucker out real quick. And so I was thinking that before they said it. I was just like, when did she have time to do this? And it's like, oh, she...
Okay. It was sweet, but regardless of if I'm out or not, if someone in high school pulled me up on a stage and showed a picture of us kissing, I would not be okay with that. Even if they drew it and that's sweet, like, the delivery of, like, doing it in front of all my peers, I would be mortified. Am I in the room here? I would just be like, okay, you want to give this to me? Like, that's awesome. You want to show, like, everybody that we made out once? Like, girl, take a step back.
You're like,
okay,
you're absolutely right, but I'm such a sap that I would eat it the fuck up. If a girl did that for me, I'd be like, oh my God, I love you.
It'd be different if, like, okay, we've been dating for years, and, like, everybody knows it, and, like, whatever. Like, but no, it's like, girl, we made out once. I said I had feelings for you, but, like, step back. I don't know. It just made me, like, cringe.
Well, I need you to remember that this is also not a normal fucking high school. You know what I mean? Like,
That's true.
It's not a normal school because, like, have you ever had student body elections like that? No. A student body election these days is in a fucking Google form. Like,
even if it were a boy, like, still, it's not the gender. It's just the fact that, like, you pulled me to talk to me in front of everyone. No.
Yeah. No, I get what you mean.
I do love the fact that, like, AJ and Paige are up there talking and everyone's just like, what? We can't hear you.
Oh, yeah.
What
do
you say?
Fucking Tim. Shut up, Tim. Fucking little bitch.
And then the witch girl comes back and I love her.
Oh my God, Chantal.
Oh, yeah. My God. Yes,
the,
so AJ...
The masking jokes are really funny, too. Like, Well, they're like, oh, my God, Chantal, I didn't see you there. She's like, good, my masking spell worked.
Oh, yeah. I love it. So Paige and AJ kiss in front of everybody so everyone knows that they got back together, and the crowd disperses. And like they said, Chantal shows up. And this whole time, Paige and AJ thought that Chantal was casting spells on them because Chantal liked them, but in reality Chantal was trying to hook them up, so she was doing love spells but for them. So she's like, my spell worked, you're welcome. I'm like, yes, the witch saved the day.
She was funny.
She was great. She was me. The witch that likes Winces, she was me.
And in one of, like, the whole speech of the art thing, we didn't know what they said. They talked about a beautification initiative for the school. So, like, when they go back to the principal's like, I love this, but that was my idea. It was not yours. Right. It was mine. And then she also says that you won't get suspended, but you both have to do face painting for the Renaissance Fair.
Oh, yeah. Which, honestly, like, okay, but the other thing is, like, yeah, I know everybody is like, oh, she, like, you're King Pun, but, like, if they actually suspended her for that, like, that's bullshit. They don't have any evidence, but she had acrylic paint on her hands once. Like, that was bullshit. Right. I was mad about it.
Yeah. And that's the end. That's pretty much all that happens. Everyone lives happily ever after.
Yeah, it was, I think, cute, even, and that's what I like about that.
Yeah. I think even at the end they show, I think, Gabby and Io back together too, don't they?
I can't remember.
I think so.
I don't know that either.
Yeah, because at the very end, they're all, like, out on the school green on, like, a blanket. It's, like, the end of Mean Girls, basically.
Oh,
and then,
yeah.
I think Gabby's with her, or them.
The end of Mean Girls, but no one got hit by a bus.
Yeah, thankfully.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it was really cute.
Yeah.
I recommend it.
I think queer kids deserve movies like this.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I think anybody deserves a movie like this.
Yeah.
I like it. Like, it's the era of, like, this, Booksmart, stuff like that. It's nice.
Oh, God, I love Booksmart. And Plan B.
I love Plan B.
Yes.
Have you seen Plan B, Julie?
No.
You need to. It's really good.
You have to. It's so good.
Okay.
It's on Hulu.
I believe you. Okay.
It's amazing.
Yeah. So, any final thoughts on Crush?
They really missed an opportunity to use the old Paramore song Crush in it.
Damn, you're right.
I know. It is a curse sometimes to be this right.
Too busy. They were too busy finding songs that matched exactly
what
was happening at the exact moment.
Well, that's weird because that would also be something that would be happening in that exact moment.
Yeah, but the lyrics were not on.
Yeah, you're right.
Can I end on a story? I have a story for y'all.
Yeah.
Yes.
So I have no lasting thoughts on this movie other than the fact that it was very cute and I really enjoyed watching it and I wish movies like this existed when I was in high school. But so I took my seniors, it was the last day for seniors, and we went on a school trip today. And so some of the students came at the beginning of the day to my classroom just to hang out. And I have this one girl who's very direct, almost too direct, but she's very cognizant of other people's feelings, but she just kind of says what comes to her mind. And so we're all sitting there. There's like 10, 12 of us, and we're just chatting, whatever. And she's like, so are other kids going on the senior trip, or is it just the queer kids? And we all look around, we kind of stop for a second, and she's like, what? Did I say something wrong? Did I offend anybody? And everyone was like, no, that's pretty accurate. Yep, that's, we're all the queer kids. And I looked at my intern who was there, and we were just kind of like, oh, I love that, like, they all found us and, like, came to our classroom to hang out, and, like, they felt comfortable there and whatever. So it was just like, oh, yeah, I'm just hanging out with all the queer kids, apparently. I just love that. And she was like, anyone else come? Just queer kids. And everyone just kind of stopped and looked, and we were like, yeah.
I love that. I love that, Heather. That makes me so happy. Like, I can only endeavor to be, like, to be that safe space for a kid someday. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, oh, just, those kids deserve so much.
Absolutely. And, I mean, I teach in a district that is very conservative. So it's nice that, and it's nice that they can feel comfortable there. And I loved when she said that. And then she, like, automatically, because we all paused and, like, looked around, she was automatically like, did I say something wrong? And we were like, no, you didn't.
No. Where's the lie?
Yeah.
Sweet. Oh, the never-ending love between queer kids and English teachers.
Yeah.
It's true.
It's real.
And I love that I can be a part of that.
Yeah. Well, thank you all for listening. Shout out again to Lisa, who I know listens to the show, and thanks for letting us talk about your apartment and college parties.
It was a great apartment, and it was a great night. Thank you, Lisa.
It was a great night. Go look in the episode description, where you will find our Linktree link that will take you to our social media pages. Please follow us there, share our posts, leave comments, DM to interact with us. We also Also, in the episode description, you will find a link to our support page, where you can help the pod with a one-time donation or sign up for a monthly patronage. Please recommend our show to your friends and come back and see us in the next episode. So thank you again to Julie and Heather.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks. And until next time, we are the Weirdos, Mister.